From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 16th day of September 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. Bruce Bostard will be here to take up the agricultural cash grain markets. Bruce from the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company. Out of Ludlow, Illinois, we'll close out the program by having a conversation about the agricultural weather forecast with Steve Hilberg at the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Dave Dickey will be along with the agricultural news for the afternoon. And I'll give you an update on the FSA numbers released yesterday, at least the numbers, and some context from University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good on this Friday afternoon of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago, on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day lower. Nearby December soft red winter wheat down 7 3/4 of a cent a bushel at $6.88 and a quarter. Next year's July at $7.54 3/4, 3 3/4 of a cent lower. July hard red in Kansas City traded 6 3/4 of a cent lower at the end of the day at $8 and a nickel. Back in Chicago from the corn pit, nearby December futures is $6.92, 9 cents lower. March corn at $7.05 1/2, down 9 1/4. May at $7.13 1/2, 9 1/4 lower, and July at $7.17, down 9. December corn $6.26, down 6 for the day. November bean futures at $13.55 1/2, 3 1/4 lower. January at $13.67, down 3 1/4. The March at $13.75 1/4, 2 3/4 of a cent lower. And May soybeans at $13.80 1/2, down 1 3/4. July $13.88 1/4, down 1 3/4. And next year's November soybeans at $13.42, down 4 1/4 cents a bushel. October bean meal at $3.48.70, 90 cents lower. October soybean oil gained 33 cents to finish at $56.55. Live cattle futures finished the October at $118.50, down 40 cents. December at $118.95, 47 1/2 lower. CME feeder cattle at $135.30 in the September contract, down 30 cents for the day. The October futures at $137.47 1/2 per 100 pounds, 30 cents lower. November was up 20 at $139.30. October lean hogs at $87.35 finished $1.65 lower. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. October crude oil futures, $88.03 a barrel, down $1.35. Natural gas at $3.81 1/10, down 6 7/10. Ethanol at $2.64 3/10, 2 1/10 cents lower. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.05, down 1 9/10 cents. And the gold futures on the afternoon at $1,812.10 an ounce, up $33.60. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at just about 11,505. That's 72 points higher. The dollar at 76.59, down 0.35, and the CRB at 329.55, down 3.05 on the afternoon. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area says this afternoon it will remain cloudy with a high near just 62 degrees today. Tonight, mostly cloudy and a low of 46. Tomorrow, partly sunny skies, a high of 71 degrees. East-southeast winds tomorrow at 6 to 9 miles an hour. Tomorrow night, a 30% chance of showers. That after 1 a.m., mostly cloudy, a low of 54 degrees. East-southeast winds at about 8 miles an hour. Then on Sunday, that 50% chance of showers is continuing with thunderstorms too, mostly cloudy, a high near 74 degrees. South-southeast winds at 7 to 11, gusting to 15 Sunday night. A 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, cloudy, a low of 62. And Monday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a high near 77 degrees. Monday, that chance of showers and thunderstorms at 30%. Monday night finally clears out, partly cloudy, a low of 54. On Tuesday, skies will be sunny and a high of almost 80 degrees. They've pegged it at 79 for the moment. Tuesday night, a chance of showers returns, mostly cloudy, and a low of 59. A more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Steve Hilberg of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. On the phone line with us this afternoon to take a look at the agricultural futures markets is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Always joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Friday afternoon. Hi, Mike.
And glad to do it. Hello, Todd.
Hey, thank you so much for being with us. Can you take us back through the week and how things progressed?
Well, I think pre-report jitters and freeze scare probably carried over into Sunday night's trade, but then Monday's numbers came out, and I think the first part of the week after the report came out, especially the day of the report, trade seemed to trade mainly only supplies. The bullish supplies for the corn, the yield cut, bearish supplies, yield increase in the beans. The following day, however, I think they took a more holistic approach and combined the supply and demand, started to look at more of the global numbers as well, and that's when they really started to see, I think, the idea that wheat was, in particular, wheat was going to be up there in global stocks at a 10-year high. Not only that, but our foreign competition was going to be at a 10-year high as well, and the foreign corn supplies were going to be boosted as well. And it was interesting to me that the USDA came out with their numbers, and then throughout the course of the week, for, countries like the Ukraine and Argentina also found more corn supply. So it kind of gave validity to the USDA numbers as far as in the totality of the week, that supplies were building, that in essence, end users for corn and wheat in particular, they have had to learn to do more with less supplies, and they are accomplishing that task. So the end result, I think, in the totality of the week, Todd, was let's take the market down to the next level of support. That next level of support was that $7 level in the Dease corn, and that $13.75 level in November beans, and that's where we kind of tried to hang up today, but fell further because of, in my view, the stronger dollar continued to weigh on the markets. I noticed a lot of safe haven buying in the gold and a lot of safe haven buying in the dollar and in the bonds as well, and that seemed to really bring into, even though it was light volume today, it seemed to bring into the view more continued fund liquidation in pretty much all the commodity sectors.
Lots of the world uses wheat as a livestock feed. There's, I guess, a crushing amount of wheat at this point on the marketplace. If it weren't there, the market would be really short of a feed grain for livestock. Is that right?
Yes, it is. And I think, you know, Dave and I talked about a little bit today. The USDA backs up their numbers pretty well in their wheat outlook and their feed grain outlook this week. And I think that they're good numbers. They're solid numbers. I think one number that stood out at me in particular was that in China, we're now in a second year in a row where they're feeding wheat percentages as far as what they feed in their ration has gone from a normal 10% all the way up to 30%. So they, like many other countries, are continuing to do the same thing. And the other thing about the wheat market goes back to the USDA's numbers are supported by the International Grains Councils and also some of the European analytical firms. And we saw that with Strategies Grains. They came out and they lowered the soft red crop for the European wheat, but in the big picture ending stocks numbers or production numbers for all wheat in Europe, they're actually a little bit above the USDA's numbers this week. So I think USDA, if I had to quantify it, and you're always trying to be skeptical of a government report and when you're in our line of work, I think you'll find them more on the right side of the ledger than the wrong side. You can argue about the demand around the edges, I think, as far as, well, maybe ethanol demand won't be down 100 million bushels, but Argentina is going to have more exportable stocks that offset that.
I know you like data. Did you pull the numbers from FSA yesterday and take a look at that interim release of acreage that has been reported to them?
Yeah, and, you know, it was a little bit harder to read through than normal, and I found that in the trade today, too. That was a little bit of the trade picture today. Beans had a lot of underpinning early on, but then some private firms, I think it was Informa, came out and said that they actually expected the corn acres to go down slightly, but the bean acres to go up slightly. I thought that we could get a little bit of a reduction or a fair-sized reduction in both corn and beans based upon those numbers, but maybe I'm not the expert that they are as far as being able to crunch numbers in such detail. So I think the trade priced those in as well. Overall, I think the trade was more bearish the corn all day long, and I think in in small part, that was due to the technicals. Probably bigger reason was because of the dollar and also because of these numbers that came out. They had priced in a somewhat friendly number, and the trade was saying this is a bearish number. I kind of disagree with that at this point.
And it's probably pretty tough to tell. USDA will say that the numbers tend to roll up, even continue to roll up through the October report, and that's why NAS doesn't include it until then. And when you look at the number, and we'll give them a bit later in the program when I have a report with Daryl Good, but what was it, about 88 million for corn and 73 for beans or something along those lines, and 3 million prevent and 1.4 for corn and beans respectively. So interesting numbers to look at, but I don't know what they mean just yet. Probably not much until they actually get floated into the NAS numbers, I would think.
Yeah, and I think the big thing when it comes to the numbers now, we'll come back to the cash side. I think that the yields, you know, one of the other things that was working into the market, not just this week with the report, but last week, was the continuation, by and large, of better-than-expected yields in corn by producers. And I think that continued to work into the basis and continued to work into the futures. Well, now we're at a point where the basis is extremely wide. You know, we're talking 60 to a dollar under in bean basis. We're talking about 35 to 70 under in corn basis throughout the country. I think we're wide enough at this point, Todd, especially when it comes to, since we're well below $7 cash and we're threatening either straddling 13 or below 13, depending on what part of the country you're at, I think you'll see the farmer selling just grind to a halt at this point. And I think that and the 673 weekly trend line support in Dease corn are going to mean a lot in next week's trade. And I think that's where I'm going to kind of set my sights on the basis, the technicals, and then see if Kansas City wheat and that Southern Plains wheat belt really gets the rains that the trade is priced in this week. Because if they don't, they want to plant next week. And if they don't get the rains next week, I think the trade's going to have to come back and revisit all that again.
All right. Well, for the moment, harvest pressure is on.
It is indeed.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a good weekend.
You too. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. A quick note, remember that on Monday, our home station, WILL AM 580 in Urbana, will power down to about 100 watts. At least that's the plan at this point. It may be a moving target still. Once that happens, we'll stay there for probably a couple of weeks as they work to fix and maintain our guy wires. That happens maybe every 50 years or so. So it's regular maintenance, but we do have to go down for some time. We'll come back up in a couple of weeks, so you might not hear us on the radio station at AM 580, but you have alternatives. I'll talk to you more about that a bit later in the program. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment. He'll talk to you about the Ag News for the afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In agricultural news, a new Government Accountability Office report says that federal officials are doing a poor job of monitoring how antibiotics are used by livestock producers, making it impossible to examine the development of bacterial resistance to the drugs and the impact on Americans. The GAO report says, quote, without detailed use of data and representative resistance data, agencies cannot examine trends and understand the relationship between use and resistance. FDA collects data on how much antibiotics are used on livestock, but does not monitor which kinds of animals get different kinds of antibiotics. Livestock grown in the U.S. consumed about 29 million pounds of antibiotics in 2009. The chairman of the Renewable Fuels Association says that the U.S. ethanol industry is keeping its foot on the gas pedal at production plants, and if the trend continues, it could defy a government forecast that the industry will have its first drop in corn use since the turn of the century. Chuck Woodside says, quote, plants are making some money. I anticipate we're not going to see a huge reduction in demand. The U.S. mandate for conventional biofuel will rise 600 million gallons next year to 13.2 billion gallons. A G20 development meeting next week will draft a plan for increasing agricultural output, boosting infrastructure spending, and improving access to financing for poor countries. The September 23rd meeting of finance and development ministers from the G20 group of rich and developing nations will receive a report on solutions for financing development drafted by billionaire Bill Gates. The report will also talk about the role of emerging nations in international cooperation. Analysts today at France's Strategic Grains lowered their 2011-12 forecast for soft wheat production in the EU after heavy rain affected both the quality and quantity of crops in Germany, Poland, Scandinavia, and the Baltic states. Strategic Grains now expects the EU to produce 129 million tons of soft wheat, down from the estimate of 29.9 million tons that it gave in August. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
And don't forget that on Monday, this station, WILL AM 580, the home station for the closing market report, will power down to about 100 watts, that as they retrench the guy wires that hold up our twin towers out on the South Farms. It'll take about 2 weeks to get that job done, and it's pretty likely you will not be able to hear the station or the closing market report, at least on AM 580. There are alternatives. You can turn to one of our affiliate stations, WHPO out of Hoopston, WGFA out of Watsika, WHOW from Clinton, WKEI in Kewaunee, and WTIM in Taylorville. That last one, tape delays us at 5:30 daily on the closing market report. Many of the stations also run Commodity Week. You can pick us up online if you're in the house at night or the afternoons. You can drop by willag.org. You can dial this phone number at 217-333-3434. And we call that one our mobile analyst portal. It's just voicemail updated with either the opening or the closing numbers and a bit of analysis at 10:15 and 3:15 daily. You can do that on your regular phone, or if you have a smartphone, you can visit m.willag.org or mobile. That's m.willag.org and find all of our daily programming from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report. And the opening market report as well, Commodity Week, all posted there. It's all part of the service from willag.org, but we'll be down for a couple of weeks while we work to power up the station for the rest of the year. Thank you so much for your patience, and we hope it's not too much of an inconvenience for you. Now up next, next month, USDA will include updated FSA acreage figures in its crop estimate. The Ag Economists at Illinois have looked into the history of those figures in hopes of extracting some of the possible adjustments. FSA, the Farm Service Agency, collects data from producers about how many acres of each crop they plant. For corn and soybeans, those numbers are supposed to be filed by mid-July. Still, there are farmers that simply do not file, those that ask for an extension to file, and then the prevent plant acres. Roughly speaking, it takes until October for FSA to get a very accurate tally of all the acres planted to corn or soybeans. September the 15th, FSA released an interim set of numbers that showed 88.65 million acres of corn and 73.58 million acres of soybeans, along with about 3 million acres of prevent plant for corn and 1.4 million for soybeans. Those are numbers for all 50 states. Illinois' Daryl Good and company looked not at those figures, but the previous 2011 FSA set and compared them to the historical differences between NAS and FSA in 2009 and 10. He says the difference between the NAS planted acreage and FSA planted acreage in 9 and 10 was pretty uniform. The 2011 planted acreage is a bit unique because of its starting point. Farmers this year planted, according to the prelim FSA numbers and the NAS figures, about 1 million extra acres of corn and about 600,000 more acres of soybeans. The question, then, is what happens to the acreage figures in the October USDA crop production report? Here's Daryl Good.
My guess is that there will be some decline in both, a few hundred thousand acres of both corn and soybeans. You would think a bigger decline on corn than beans, up to a 500,000 acres, which is at 150 bushels. That's 75 million bushels of corn that we could lose without a change in the yield. If, in fact, the yield number does come down a smidgen, then, you know, we're talking another 100, 150 million bushels smaller supply of corn. But the other caveat here is we will also, between now and then, get the estimate of September 1 stocks, and there's a fair amount of disagreement about what that number might show. The current projection on corn is 920 million. You see forecasts 100 million bushels larger than that, some smaller. So that could be an offsetting or a compounding effect when we see the October production numbers.
The quarterly grain stocks report is due out from USDA at the end of the month. It will provide another hard figure the marketplace can plug into the calculations for just how many bushels of corn and soybeans the nation will have available in the coming year. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. On the phone line with us from the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, as usual, on a Friday afternoon is Bruce Bostard. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
How are things going there?
Relatively quiet right now. We have a little corn coming in at Ludlow, Paxton, and Purdueville. Every place else is maybe a week away from getting started. Things are just drying down very slowly.
So you were busy for a bit, though, I take it, right?
Amazing what a lower drying rate will do to kind of peak up interest for a while. That went away, and then the trucks did, too.
Yeah, well, econ always makes the combine move, doesn't it? Yeah, moved early, and now we just shut her down and
wait for it to dry down a little bit.
Wait for it. And so you've dropped in price. Have you dropped in basis as well?
Basis is relatively steady. We had a few quick shipment premiums floating around out there, but it looks like they've gone away. So we're sitting at a 10 under for a new crop bid, which is stable. Beans, same way. Base is just pretty stable for the last week. Seeing a few bean fields go away. I think next week we'll see a few more pickup. Processor appears to be anticipating that also.
Have you been following the river and SIF values and the trains? And tell me what's happening with those two.
Right now the train market is just real quiet. The river sounds like they've got a distinct lack of activity going on, except for, you know, way south down in the Delta. Of course, you get down to southern Illinois and Missouri, which should be going right now, leading us. They're no further along than we are.
When do you expect real corn harvest to start in your area?
2 weeks.
2 weeks?
I would not have bet that way. You know, midway through August, I thought we'd be flat into it. This time last year, we were dumping a million bushels a day.
We caught up. We started late. We thought we caught up, and now we're back to late again, huh?
Yeah, and, you know, with what the corn has been through, it just seems like things are not drying down. Those stocks aren't doing real well, so the moisture's not just going by evaporation.
What's your bid like for the day?
We are at 682 for nearby corn. There's a change, and 1330 on soybeans.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Bruce Bostard. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. You have a great weekend. We'll say goodbye to some of you now. For the rest of you, I'll be back in just a couple of minutes, and we'll talk with Steve Hilberg. He's at the Midwestern Regional Climate Center.
It's National Cinnamon Raisin Bread Day. It's also Feast of St. Cornelius, patron of cattle and domestic animals. On this day in agricultural history in 1630, the town of Shawmut changed its name to Boston. If not for this, we might be eating Shawmut baked beans and Shawmut cream pie. In 1736, Daniel Gabriel Fahrenheit died. Fahrenheit, a German physicist, invented the Fahrenheit temperature scale thermometer. It was the first thermometer to use mercury instead of alcohol, which also extended the temperature range of thermometers. He also discovered that each liquid has a different boiling point that would change with atmospheric pressure. In 1903, Luther Crowell died, an American inventor. He obtained over 280 patents and perhaps is best known for designing a machine to make the square bottom paper bag still in use today. And in 1919, Marvin P. Middlemark was born. He invented the TV rabbit ear antenna and, among other minor inventions, a water-powered potato peeler. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from WILL AM 580. On Monday, we should power down to just 100 watts. Normally, in operation, we're at 5,000 watts. 100 watts is, or 250 watts, is just about roughly what we put out in the evenings. If you're very far outside of our listening area in the county, you probably will not be able to hear us. This is the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast, Steve Hilberg. He's with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Hi, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Earlier in the week, we had a pretty important event in the far northern parts of the Midwest. It got pretty cold. Can you tell me about it?
It sure did. We had that huge high-pressure system that came in earlier this week and settled in over the Midwest and did bring some very chilly air to good parts of the Dakotas, Minnesota, northern Wisconsin, and actually even into southern Iowa. And we've now seen freezing temperatures and fairly widespread freezing temperatures all the way into central Iowa at 32 degrees and sub 28 degree temperatures in the northern half of Minnesota. In fact, some lows were down to 19 and 20 degrees further north in Minnesota. So it was fairly widespread, but fortunately it wasn't too long-lived. We didn't see cloud cover, and winds helped keep temperatures up last night, so we didn't see any repeat. But many locations, and it looks like maybe even 50 to 100 locations, actually saw their first freezing temperatures of the season.
Yeah, and growing season enders are usually 28 degrees. I made note that you talked
right
about that, and for at least a couple of hours, if I remember correctly. Is
that
right?
And that was the areas that really got that were in the northern half of Minnesota and northern Wisconsin. South of Minneapolis, there wasn't much in the way of any persistent 28 degrees or scattered readings, but most temperatures were between 28 and 32 south of that point. So we got a little reprieve now, and we should have some at least more seasonable weather for a while.
The weather is cool. There was rainfall, and my grass is green again.
Boy, it didn't take long when you get into September, does it?
No.
in fact, it looked like mine grew overnight, actually. Yeah, we actually a little upper-level wave moved through yesterday through the high-pressure system here on the surface and put a pretty wide swath of rain across the southern Midwest. Pretty much north of Illinois, there was very little. Heaviest rain was in eastern Missouri and southwestern Illinois, where there were upwards of 2 inches of rain. And then around that, of course, it dropped off. We had about a third of an inch here, roughly, in central Illinois. When you got up into northern Illinois, it was only a few hundredths. Fortunately, a lot of the rain did fall in the areas that really badly need it. There were some areas to the north of the main accumulation that still needed badly and didn't get much. For example, west central Illinois and central Iowa got very little out of this system. But we'll take what we can get at this point, and that was a nice rain to have the other day.
I guess you better tell me about the coming forecast.
Well, it looks like we're moving into a somewhat wetter pattern over the next week. We're going to see some showers perhaps tonight. There's a band of showers moving through Illinois right now and possibly Sunday night, and then off and on possibly during next week with temperatures near normal.
Thanks so much, Steve.
All right, Todd.
Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Hey, don't forget to visit our website at willag.org or on your smartphone at m.willag.org. For Commodity Week, our guest this week, Ray Jenkins from Cargill.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.